Begin the current daf Maseches Chum daf Kuf Chav Vav. Begin 8 lines down the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is the Gemara was discussing the halacha of our previous Mishnah regarding why is it that when we're talking about the bone of a corpse of a dead person, it only mentions that as tumah of touching, but not as the bone generally would have that of a dead person that would be metamei ba'oil. So one of the approaches that of Rabbi Yochanan was saying that actually when it says the wording, the terminology of negeya, it means oil too. And as the Gemara explained, it's going like Rabbi Yasi, who Rabbi Yasi is of the opinion that touching and leaning over something is essentially the same thing, and if it used that terminology, but it actually refers to Tumas Oil too. Now, on that, Rava wanted to say, I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yasi holds that there's a Tumas Oil even if it's over a tefach, more than a tefach in height, because or else that would create the question again then. If it's only within the tefach, then again, why does it say only Negei in the Mishnah and not that of Oil too? Now, on that, his proof was regarding the ropes on over a dead person. Obviously, we're referring to that it's even over a tefach. On that, Abaye said that no, it's even lower than a tefach, and it's not going to be bottled to the dead person because the person's not mevatlet. So, therefore, it's not necessarily that his halacha in that brisa that Rebbe brought was referring to even lamala than a tefach. On that, the Gemara asked Abaye, but what do you mean? Even if it's not going to be considered like ksus, like the shrouds of a dead person, but if it's within the tefach, that should be what's called tuma tumuna, and that's by kasva ila, that should break up and that should contaminate what's above it. Why does it say if someone's opposite the ropes, then if you're saying it's within the tefach, that it's not going to become tummy? So the Gemara explained, as the Gemara proved, that actually Rabbi Yisi holds, as the Mishnah is brought him sechtes alis, that he holds that it's actually not going to be bekas v'ayla, even if it's within the tefach, even if it's a tumah tumuna, he holds not bekas v'ayla, and therefore he holds there for someone's opposite the ropes is going to be tar. But the main thing is that what we have in the previous daf, the way we explain for Abaye, why it's not approved, the interpretation that Rav was giving for Rabbi Yechon's opinion, in Rabbi Yasi, that he's the Tana, who would be the Tana of a Mishnah, holds touching is the same thing as oil, and if when it says Negei, it really means oil too, that it's we see from Rabbi Yasi that he holds Tumah Tumuna is not Bekas. And that is the Gemara, V'rami de Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yasi, but that seems to contradict a different teaching of Rabbi Yasi, did not. We learn the Mishnah Masech, this Olis, that says as follows, Hakelev she'ochel besar meis, if a dog ate flesh from a dead person, umes hakelev, and then the dog died. Now, why is it important to say that the dog died? Because if the dog would be alive, even if he has the flesh of a dead person inside of him, and then he goes into a bayis, into an oil, the house is going to be tar. As the Gemara said in the Ayin Aleph Med Aleph, that what's called tuma blua, if you have absorbed tuma inside a living creature, that does not contaminate, even though it's in the oil. But then what happened was, but that the dog died. Now, umutul ali skupa. The dog died on the threshold of a house. Now, and the dog's neck is inside. So what's the halacha? So Meir, he says as follows. He says, Im yesh b'tzavari pesech tefach, if the width of the neck is that of a tefach, so then maybe it's a tumah. So then that brings the tumah into the oil, and the house is going to be tummy. Now, the reason for that is because the upper part of the dog's neck is considered like an oil over the tumah. Therefore, the opposite end, the end of the head of the dog, which is going inside the house, that brings the tumah from that oil, which is the neck, into the house, and it goes through that entryway into the house. Now, although that this oil, so to speak, of the neck of the dog doesn't have a gap, an airspace of a tefach, Rami holds it's still going to be mamshach, it's still going to draw the tumah from the animal's stomach through the neck into the house, since at least the width of this is a tefach, as Rosh Hashanah explained, because of what's called chakuk lahashlim, you could carve out, and as if that only the top part of the neck is considered the oil, and whatever part of the bones and everything else, we consider it carved out, and as if it does have a gap of a tefach. Now, vimlav, but if it doesn't have that width of a tefach, then it doesn't bring the tumah, because if it doesn't have at least a width of a tefach, it's not considered the oil, as the Mishnah teaches us after this all is, that if it's at least a tefach squared with a height of tefach that's squared, then it can bring tumah, but if it's less than that, it cannot transmit the tumah from the animal through its mouth, which is inside the oil. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, I mean, he says, Ryan, he says, no, we look at the tumah, which the assumption of the Gemara right now is that we analyze the body of the dog to see where is that flesh of the dead person inside the dog. If it is mikneged hashkeif lifnim, if it's from the doorstop, from the lintel inward That's where the tumah is. So then that ba'ayah is tumah. So then how's it going to be tumah? Which again, the assumption right now with the Gemara is, and we're talking about, he's going on the last part of Remeir. We're talking about when the neck is not a tefach. So Remeir said, if the neck is not a tefach, then how's it going to be tar? And that Rabbi Yishai tells him, wait, if the tumah is within the doorstep, then even though the neck does not have a width of a tefach to make it its own oil, still the tumah itself isn't a larger oil because it's in the house, which is covering over the thing of the tumah itself. And generally, the area of the throat does not have a gap space of a tefach. So yes, yeah, so that's going to be tumah tumuna. It's concealed crouched tumah, which sounds like what Rabbi Yishai is saying is that's by kasva oil, it's going to break through and it's going to be in the same oil because we don't consider it inside the living creature. We view that as if it's crouched and therefore it's like the animal's not blocking it. It's in the oil and therefore the whole house is going to be tummy. Now, mekeneged hashkoyf al chutz. Now, however, if let's say the tummy is outside of the doorstop, so then the bayis tar, then the house is going to be tar because now you don't have the bayis covering over it and you don't have neither oil of a tefach, which could then draw it into the house because the neck is not a space of a tefach. That's what the Gemara initially assumes is the interpretation of Rabbi Yishai. Now, Rabbi Elazar gives a different opinion. He says, piv lefnim, if the mouth of the dog is inside the house and the whole of its tail is outside the house, then abay is tar. Then the house is going to be tar if the tumah is on the outside. Because of hamshacha of what drawing in, he doesn't hold it's going to be tummy because the food doesn't usually come through the mouth. Rather, where does it come out of the animal? It comes through the where the feces come out from the rear of the animal. So therefore, that's not inside. Neither is the tumma inside. So then it's going to be tar. But if piv l'chutz, but if its mouth is to the outside and therefore its rear is in the inside, then abay is tummy, then the house is going to be tummy, and they should tummy yitz derech shula, because where's the tummy come out? Which is the halacha we said in the previous stuff regarding derech tummy lotzes. Where does it come out? It comes out from the rear. Since it comes out from that small hole in the rear, so therefore, obviously, that's considered safe for lotzes there, and therefore the house will be tummy in that situation. The fourth opinion, Yehudim and Meseirim, it says, Benkach and Benkach. He says, whether this way or that way, whether the mouth is inside or the mouth is outside, whether the tumah is opposite the area of the doorstop and inward, or whether it's outside of the doorstop, whether the neck is a tefach, whether the neck is not a tefach, he says, whatever the situation is, Habai is tumah, the house is going to be tumah, and he's disagreeing in all the cases. For example, let's say when the mouth is inside, he's going to say it's going to be tumah, even though that's not seifei lotzeis, it doesn't usually come through the mouth. Still, he holds that the tumah could also be exported even from the area where it comes in from, not only where it comes out from, or another reason could be because sometimes it does vomit and it will come out through the mouth. And so too, if the rear is inside, he holds it going to be tumah because that is derech lotzeis. It's normal to come out that way. So either way, if the mouth is inside or the rear is inside, either way he holds that, it's going to be tumah. But one thing says the Gemara regarding the contradiction of Rabbi Yishai's opinion, my love isn't it that a'ein b'tzavari p'seach tefach koyer b'yisi. Rabbi Yishai was going on the last thing Remeir had said. Remeir was the first opinion, Rabbi Yishai was the second opinion. And Remeir had said, oh, regarding that if the neck is not an area of a tefach, says Remeir, okay, then the house is not going to be tummy. On that is what Rabbi Yishai is going on. He's saying, well, no. He says that if the flesh of the dead person that's in the dog is within the doorstop inward, then the house is going to be tummy. Even though there's no what's called hamshacha, there's no drawing from the animal, because the neck, it doesn't have a width of a tefach, still the house is going to be tummy. Why? Because the house itself is leaning over the tumah that's tamuna, that's concealed, because it actually is crouched. You don't have a space of a tefach. And still, Rabbi Yishai is saying it's going to be tamei. So b'shema mino tuma tumuna, because you see, Rabbi Yishai holds that a crouched and concealed tuma does shoot up. It's not considered blocked. It doesn't stay within that thing. That contradicts the halacha we said from the previous stuff in the top of the summit that we proved that Rabbi Yishai holds tuma tumuna in the b'kas, and that's how we were explaining for Abaya why it wouldn't be a proof that even if the ropes are less than a tefach, why the person on top wouldn't be tummy if he's opposite the area of the ropes and not by the space of the ropes, is because we said Rabbi Yishai holds it's not b'kas. Here you see clearly that holds tumuna is b'kas. It does shoot up. And that Amarav, he says no. Rabbi Yishai is not going on what the mayor had said that if the neck doesn't have a width of a tefach, that Rabbi Meir had said that it's going to be tahar and that Rabbi Yisrael was being stringent and saying it's going to be Tame? No, because there, even if the Tame is inside, the house will be tar. Because, yeah, like we proved from the previous stuff, Rabbi Yisrael holds Tuma Tumuna is not Bekas, it does not shoot up. Rather, it stays within the neck, inside the animal. Now, the thing is that what he's going on is the case of when the neck does have a space of a tefach. The Rebbe Meir said that then the house is going to be Tamei, and that Rebbe Yisrael is going to be lenient. And Rebbe Meir said that the oil, so to speak, of the neck of the animal, since it has a width of a tefach, will draw the Tamei into the house, which is where the mouth of the animal is, since it has a width of a tefach, even though it doesn't have a halal, doesn't have a space of a tefach. That Rebbe Yisrael tells him, no. Roinus halal ha-tuma ketani. What we were learning there in that Mishnah is that we see the gap, the open space of the neck. If that space has a tefach, then it will draw it into the house. If not, it will not draw it. So therefore, when Rabbi Yisi says, Roinus ha-tuma, he's not talking about that, as we had originally explained, that you see the place of where the tuma thing, the flesh of the dead person, is laying in the animal. Because for that, we actually don't care. Because we don't care if it's in the house or if it's outside the house. Because we don't say that the house is going to be over it, because he doesn't hold even tuma tumunas bakas v'ayla. That the whole thing is because of the hamshacha of drawing it in. Rather, it's that it says, you see, when you see roin satuma, it's roin as chalal hatuma. You see the open space. Now, this that he ends his statement by saying, which is why we originally interpreted that it's going on the tuma itself, the flesh, because he says, well, is it within the doorstop or is it outside? And that says, Rava, that's a different halacha. And that is Rabbi Yisi Batarti Polig. Rabbi Yisi was disagreeing with Rabbi Meir on 2 points as follows. He said to Rabbi Meir, the Karma, this that you said regarding the halacha of Hamshacha, of drawing the tumah that's inside the dog outside into the house, that you said, Kiyesh Bitzavari, when you have in the entirety of the neck, even including you were holding with the width of the walls of the neck, that width is Peseach Tefach, maybe it's a tumah. As long as it has an area of a tefach, you held it's going to draw the tumah into the house. So Rabbi Yisi, no. First of all, anam basa halal azlim. We go after, not just, you don't include the muscles and the flesh and the bones and the tendons, all those things. No, we go after the open space. It has to be an open space of a tevach, and the throat doesn't have that. So therefore, you don't have the law of hamshacha. And moreover, then there was a second halacha. With the ka'amrit habayis kula, or as the text tells us, alas kufa kula. This that you held that it's regarding the entire threshold, that tummy it's going to be tummy, meaning even though its mouth is not within the doorstop, you consider the whole threshold as inside the house, and that's what Rabbi Yisrael was telling him, that no, the threshold is very wide, and the doorstop cuts it in middle, where the door bangs against on the lintel and closes that door. From that area, mikeneged hashkayf, if it's from opposite the doorstop, you know, as regular doors have that there's where the door bangs in it, that's why it's called a mashkayf, because it's from the word of shkifa, which means to bang, vilifnim, and it's inside the doorstop, then that's considered part of the house, that's abayis tamay, then the house is going to be tamay. Mikeneged hashkayf, v'luchutz abayis tar, but if it's outside the doorstop, even though it's on the threshold, then it's going to be tahar. That was a different thing he was disputing with Rebbe Meir. But again, the first thing he was saying was not regarding where the tumah itself is, because even if the tumah is in the house, it wouldn't make a difference because it's tumuna tumuna, and tumah tumuna he holds is not bekas va'ila, would not be considered bimitami. Rather, what he was talking about was, what does it make a difference? Ryan is halal hatum. We view the neck. If it has a gap of a tefach, fine, but it doesn't have that, and therefore he held that it's going to be turned. But it doesn't contradict what we said before. He doesn't. It's not contradicting. He holds tumah tumun is not because, and it's regarding a different element. Now the Gemara tells us actually Rav Acha b'Reid Rava Maslam Behed, he explicitly learned it like this, that he quoted Rabbi Yisi Omer, it says Ryan is halal hatum. Wasn't Ryan is hatum? Doesn't make a difference where it is, because even though it's in the house, it wouldn't be bekas v'ayla. It's the gap space of the tumah. If there's a space of a tefach, then it could have hamshacha. It could go through the neck and then go into the mouth, which is inside the house. But, and again, even, and the second point, he also disagrees, in the house means to say beyond the doorstop, not just on the threshold. But again, wasn't talking about the mokum ha-tumah. Now, going back to the previous daf from Kuf Chofei Mezbeiz, the Gemara asks, Uman Tana, who's the Tana that we had quoted that said that if someone's touching a half olive size of tumah, and then something else is leaning over him and on another half a zayis of tuma, which that Tana had taught that the person is going to be tar, meaning that it doesn't combine. Obviously, that Tana holds that touching a chatzis zayis and having an oil of a chatzis zayis is not considered the same thing. Who is that Tana, the Paul Galel, that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, who, as we had explained for Rabbi Yechon, and his interpretation was, who's the Tana of a Mishnah, when it says, we're going to kill the Sameis, that whoever touches the Tummy, we said, what do you mean, touching? It should also have Tumas Oil. He says, yeah, because Tana of a Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, who holds oil is the same thing as Negea. That Tana obviously doesn't hold like that, because then the person should be Tummy. If something is over him in the Chatzis Zayis, and he's also touching Chatzis Zayis, they should combine. Who's that holds not like Rabbi Yossi? So it's Gemara Reb Shimon, who the Tana learned the Braisa. Shimon, I mean, he says, as you continue to Midbeis, Shalish Tumas Poshis Min Ameis. There are three Tumas that emanate from a dead person. Now, there's really many Tumas that emanate from a dead person. For example, an olive size of flesh, the spine and the skull that's not missing parts of it, a quarter kav of bones, a spoonful of the dust of a dead person, there's the bone the size of a barley corn, or if it has the majority of the number or structure of the skeleton of the person. But what we're talking about over here is there are three tumas that emanate from a dead person that are similar in this thing that each one has. Shtayim b'chol achas has two out of the three of the sources of tuma regarding the tumas of a mess, meaning that's either going to have the halacha of maga masa, touching and carrying, but it won't have tumas oil, or it'll have touching and oil, but it won't have masa, or it'll have masa and oil, won't have maga, because v'shlisha same, and the third one it doesn't have. And these are the three tumas that emanate from a dead person, which has that unique feature that it only has two out of the three. And that is moli tarvid rekif, regarding a spoonful of the dust of a dead person. That's in kisaira, the bone of the size of a barley corn. And the gaitl, which that's the upper cover of the board that's put on the dead person of the coffin. The daifik, which that's the wall on the side, which there those two are included from sukkim. In as the Gemara said on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, and those two Goel v'Dafik are considered one tuma because both of them are learned from one pasuk and they both have the same halacha of tuma. Now, in spite of the, however, in regards to all other tumas that come of a dead person, all three of these tumas of maga, mas, and oil apply, but these three are unique. That only has two of the three, as is explained. Moli tarvid rekiv, that regarding a spoonful of the dust of a dead person, metama b'masa b'oil, it transmits tuma by carrying it or by being in the same oil because he's carrying the whole thing or he's in the same oil as the whole thing, but v'ina metama b'maga. But it does not transmit tuma through touch because he's not touching the whole thing because it's not possible to touch all of the dust as one because each particle is individual. That's the part of Reb Shimon that's disputing Reb Yossi because he's saying that the spoonful of the dust is Rabbi Yossi had said that it will transmit tuma through touch because, as we said, Rabbi Yossi holds that oil is the same thing as maga, and as we see, there is a tuma of oil by the spoonful of the dust, and therefore there should be the same thing as the tuma of maga. Rabbi Shimon, who disputes that because he says that no, it's not going to have tuma as maga, is obviously disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi, and he holds that maga is not the same thing as oil. It could have tuma as oil because it's in the same oil, but it won't have tuma as maga. Again, in contrast, Rabbi Yossi says moli tarvid rakev will be metame b'maga. Now, once we introduce it, we continue the whole text. Ve'heichad magoi. And so where do you have the halacha of touch in regards to a dead person? Imachas men. It's with any one of those other two that they do have tumas maga. The next one is etzem kisa'era, the bone the size of a barley corn, which is halacha al-moshe mesinai. It's metama b'masa b'maga. There the halacha of tuma with it is by carrying it or by touching. But ve'in metam b'al does not transmit tuma if it's in the same covering. As the Gemara says, Masech Des Nazir, that etzim kisar is halacha moshe mesinai, which does not apply to tumas oil. So ve'echan ali. So then, where do you have the tum of oil of a mess? Emachas men with one of the other two, and the third one goel v'dayfik, the covering and the side of the coffin metame b'magav oil. They transmit tumah by touch or in the same oil, but ve'ena metame b'masa does not transmit tumah by carrying, which is also a halacha moshe mesinai tradition, as the Gemara brought early enough on Beis Amud Aleph. Now, according to the one that learns it out from a pasuk, not halacha moshe mesinai, the Rashi says it doesn't know where we find an exclusion of goel v'dayfik regarding tumah of masa. But says the halacha v'heichen nasai, and where then do you find the tumah of masa? Emachas men is with one of the other two. But one thing you see is Reb Shimon who disputes Reb Yossi, and he holds that tumas maga is not the same thing as tumas oil, and therefore the spoonful of the dust of the dead person will have tumas oil, but won't have tumas maga. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said kailis nevela v'kailis asheretz v'chul. regarding the bone of a dead animal that wasn't slaughtered properly, or that of the bone of a sheretz, of one of the tummy vermins of the bugs, etc., which we said that if you're touching the bone when it's closed, so then it's going to be tar. But if it has a hole, then it's going to be tummy. So turn around, then the Brisa elaborates on this halacha, because it says b'nevlasav. Someone's going to touch in the carcass of an unslaughtered dead animal, which tells us v'lo b'gar l'stuma, but not a closed bone. There, it's not going to transmit tumah. Now, yochal afilu nikva, so you would think that even if the bone has a hole, it will not transmit tumah because it's not touching the carcass, the flesh of the animal. Tamalim, that's the pasuk teaches when it says hanegeya, the one who touches, yitma will be tumah. Now, if it's tumah just teaching us the tumah of touching, of maga by the carcass of the nevela, so why do I have to say yitma? There seems to be extra yud, because you're going to say tumah. What's yitma? So the extra yud comes to teach us that you don't have to even touch the flesh, even the marrow. But esha efshar liga tameh, that which is possible to touch, will transmit tameh. I mean, there'll be a designation of tameh. And therefore, even if it doesn't touch the marrow, only touch the bone, the person will be tameh because the bone is a shomer, it's a protector, which imports and exports the tameh. But it has to be at least possible to touch it, which is if there's a hole in the bone. But if it can't be touched because it's totally closed bone, then if the person touched the bone, it's going to be tar. Now, Amalei Reb Zeira Labai, he asks him, well, Elamayat, but if that's the case, then Behema Ba'era, then an animal that's in its skin, meaning as long as the animal wasn't skinned yet, Leite Tameh should not transmit Tameh as an available because you can't touch the flesh, it's covered by the skin, which is not the flesh, and the halach has only been Nevlasa. So that's it, Abaye, Puk Chazi, Kamen Kavim Yeshbar. Go out and see how many holes there are in the animal, by its mouth, its nose, its eyes. It's possible to touch the flesh, even though the skin's on it, because there's many holes which you could touch the flesh. So if it's impossible to touch, then its ur, which is also a protector, will have the halacha of exporting the tumah. Now, but continues the Gemara on the same type of question. Only Rav Papa Rav, he says, but El Miat, if that's the case, the halacha is that the chaylev, the forbidden fats of an animal, does not transmit tumah. As the pasuk says, Yosel Hamalacha can be used for all type of work. And the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim Nefchov Gimel Menav teaches, it could have said you could use it for malacha. Why say lacha malacha? Because you would think, okay, for the work of a commoner, it'll be tar. But for the work of hektish, it should be tumah. That's what it says, lacha malacha. So we see that it itself does not transmit tumah. Now, so therefore he asks him, so El Miata, if that's the case, so then Kulya, regarding the kidney that's covered, Bechelba, with its fats, there's fats all around the kidney, Loita Tame, should not transmit Tumah, because, like we said, the fats itself does not transmit Tumah, and although the kidney is from a dead animal, but since you can't touch it, because it's covered by the fats, it should not transmit Tumah. So on that said, Rava, no, Tochazi, Kamachut, Nimshachan, and go out and see how many threads there are coming out of the kidney in the inside, which is in the kidney, and that's flesh. We consider those threads as flesh, and therefore, even though the fats are covering, there's these threads that's going through it, which could be touched, and therefore it's considered able to be touched, and therefore then the fats which are surrounding and protecting will also have the halacha of exporting that tumah. Now, Bayer Vaishi says, Chishibalela nikva v'loy nikva ma. What's the halacha? Let's say the bone does not have a hole, but he thought that he wants to make the hole, but he just didn't make the hole yet. What's the halach? As the Gemara explains, do we say mechus in the kiva that the lacking of the actual making the hole is to mechus a maisedam? It's like lacking in action, and therefore we don't consider it able to be touched yet, and therefore again the bone will not transmit the tumah and meila. Ayloya, maybe we don't consider that as an actual impediment. We'll already consider it as able to be touched. He later resolved it, and he said, "Mechus in the kiva lav k'mechus a ma'aseh dami." Lacking the actual making the hole is not like lacking in action. Once you really thought you want to do that, we consider as if it already has a hole, and therefore able to be touched, and therefore the bone itself will transmit the tumah of the tumas nevela. Now the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the same idea that it has to be able to be touched to be able to transmit tumah with its shomer that's protecting it. This time in the case not of the bone of a nevela, but this time the similar halacha of beis hasheretz. The previous mission we spoke about the bone of a sheretz. Now we're talking about the egg of a vermin. Now there are certain shrutz and certain vermins which are tamei, that the way they have their children is that they lay eggs, like the toad and the lizard and the snail. Now, however, if it's hamrukemes, if let's say a chick, the tamei creature, was formed inside the egg, there the halacha is going to be tahira. If a person touches that egg is going to be tar. Why? Because it's not possible to touch. Although the creature inside that's dead would transmit the tumma, but it's enclosed in the egg, and the egg is enclosing it, just like the bone of the previous Mishnah that it's going to be tar. But like in the previous Mishnah, Nikva Kosher Tameh, but if the egg has a hole that's even very small, then the person who touches it will be Tameh, because even though he's only touching the shell, but that Shomer, that protector, will export that Tumah of the dead, of the sherets that's inside that egg. Now, continues the Mishnah, there are certain types of mice that don't proliferate through mating. Rather, it forms by itself from the earth, just like we have by garbage dumps that there are worms that come out from the garbage itself. So too, there are mice that come from the ground itself, and that's how they're created. Now, if, however, says our Mishnah, that the mouse was not fully formed yet, rather only one side, the right or the left, we're talking about where this mouse, shechetzia, half of it is baser v'chetzia adamam, it wasn't yet fully formed, it's coming from the earth. But it hasn't yet fully formed into flesh. Only half is flesh, but the other half is still earth. So says the Tanakama, Hanageba Basar Tameh. If someone touches the fleshy part of it, which is dead, is going to be Tameh. But Adama, if he touches the earthy part, opposite that, then Tar is going to be Tar, because that's not considered the sherets of a flesh of a mouse. Now Rabbi Hudami says, no. Hanageba Adama, Shekinegeda Basar, even if someone touching the earthy part, opposite the fleshy part, Tameh, if that mouse is dead, he's going to be Tameh. The Gemara explains regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah. It says in the pasuk hatameim. It says el hatameim. These are the tummy ones. Now hatameim, the tummy ones, which is talking about the halacha of the shratzim. The hay is superfluous, and we actually make many drushes from that hay. We had enough kuf yud beizim abeiz, which we said that includes the gravy of the sherets. On that kuf chav beizim abeiz, we included that the same thing is for the ur, that the hide is like the basar. And here too, our Gemara includes another one, like the halacha of a Mishnah, l'rambis beyas ha-sheretz v'kulis ha-sheretz, including also the halacha of the previous Mishnah, for the egg of the sheretz, or for the bone of the sheretz, that for what that's tummy inside, which is either the marrow, or that's the creature that's inside the egg, that the egg will also transmit the tumma. Now, yochla for the leirikma, you would think that's even if it hasn't been fully formed inside that toad or whatever creature that's inside the egg, that the egg would transmit that tumma. Tamalim, that's what the pasuk has to teach when it says hatameim lechem b'chol, that whatever is tummy for you b'chol hasheretz, whatever is sheretz, which tells us ma sheretz shirakam, so including from the hay the eggs too, but it's comparing it to hasheretz, which ma sheretz shirakam, just like a vermin, whatever the creature is, has already been formed. Af beyas hasheretz shirakam, so to the egg of the sheretz is only if it's fully formed. Now yochel afilu le'nikvah, but you would think that even if there's no hole in the egg, it would transmit tumma. That's what it says. Whoever touches, the pasuk says, Yitma, will become tummy. Which tells us, Esha, Efsha, Liga, tummy, that which is possible to be touched, then it could transmit tumma again, even through the shamer. But the Esha, Efsha, Liga, tar, but whatever cannot be touched, even through the shamer, is going to be tar. Now, the common kivasa, and how much does the hole have to be able to be considered accessible to become tummy, even through touching the shell? Is kuchot asaira, is like a strand of here, she'efshe liga kuchot asaira, because then it's possible to touch at least like a strand of here, which is the hair of his beard, of his head, where if it would go into the egg, then it'd be considered touching the tummy element that's inside, and he'll become tummy. Because the hair is attached to the person. It's like the flesh of the person. Whether we're talking about that the hair is tar that's touching tummy that's tummy, or whether the hair is tummy that's touching tummy that's tar. Either way, it's going to make that transition, that transmission of tummy. As we learned in the Brisa Teres Kainim that says, whoever touches in the flesh of a Zav, that he's going to become tummy. Which tells us, but not if he touches the filth on the Zav, and not on the kilkilin, which is the mixture of torn hairs that are hard and are gathered on the hair on the chest or by the armpit, which that's not considered attached to the Zav, that's not going to transmit the tumma. Now, says the Brisa, so I would think that I would exclude also the hair and the fingernails of the Zav. That says, no, tumma, which teaches you that the hair transmit tumma like the flesh of the Zav. And so too, the other way, when the hair is tahar and touching something that's tumma, the Brisa says over there, b'chol ha'shiyiga boy ha'zav. Whoever the Zav touches, boy, on that person. If the Zav is touching that person, but not the filth on that person, and not the kilkilon that's on that person. Now, I would think I would exclude if he touches that other person, the Zav touches that person's hair or the fingernail. That says Yitma, to say that no, even if he touches the hair of that person, either way we consider the hair as the person himself, and therefore since it's possible for the person to touch the inside of the egg just with the hair of his beard, which that's considered him, so it's considered he could touch it, and therefore that's already going to make him tummy if he touches the shell of that egg, which has that fully formed vermin inside, which will transmit tumma just like the vermin itself. Now the Mishnah says, Achber shechetzei v'chulu. Regarding a mouse that's half earth, half flesh, so the Tanakhama had said, well, it depends what you touch. If you touch by the fleshy part, tummy, earthy part, tar. Now on that halacha, Shuma Levi qualifies, says, but v'hu shehishritz. This is only if that this half that became a sheretz, that's already fleshy, that's apanei kulei. That was fleshy along the entire, we're talking about half of it, but along the entire length of that sheretz from the head till its feet. So once entire side became fleshy, therefore if you touch the fleshy part, that's already at least considered sheretz, then it's going to become tummy. But if you don't even have one side entirely sheretz, then even if you touch the fleshy part, it says Reb Shimon Levi, time to come and hold you, you're going to be tar. Now, those who teach this teaching, Reb Shimon Levi, are qualifying on the Seifa on the opinion of Reb Yehuda. He said, he says, no, even if you touch the earthy part, which is opposite the fleshy part, on this dead mouse, he'll become tummy. On that, Rishabalevi says, that's only if at least one half that's fleshy, the entire half became flesh, then on the earthy part, you'll become tummy. So that explains the Gemara. The one who teaches the opinion of Rabbi Shua, Aresha, on the Tanakhama, that's talking about that when you touch the fleshy part, even so, Reb Shimon Levi said the Tamekam will hold that you're going to be tar if it's not hishritz apanei kulei, if it's not fleshy on the entire length of that half. Well, kashakei na seifa, for sure he would hold that in the seifa of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're touching the earthy part. That what Reb Shimon would be telling us that Rabbi Yehuda would not hold that you're going to be tamei by touching the earthy part unless it was hishritz apanei kulei. Because that definitely makes logical sense to say the earthy part. Well, only if at least the other side, at least the entirety, became fleshy, because he's saying even the tamekama, even if you touch the fleshy part, it's not going to be tamek unless the whole thing was hishritz apanei kulei. But aman demasin la seifa, the one who qualifies it on the seifa, aval reisha, but that opinion would hold. But regarding the tamekama, who's going on when you touch the fleshy part, avagavtalei hishritz, that even if it wasn't the hishritz apanei kulei on the whole length, still. That opinion of Reb Shimon Levi would hold that tummy come and hold that he's still going to become tummy as long as he's touching the fleshy part, even though it didn't become fleshy along the entire length. Now, relating back to this teaching and discussing what we had been mentioning regarding a mouse, so turn about learning the braisa. Mitech shenema achber. Since it says that there is a tumma, one of the shrotzim that are the eight types of shrotzim that transmit tumma when they're dead is the mouse. So it says the braisa shemen neafila achber shabayam. So I would think also that even the mouse of the sea, where there's a certain fish which is a aquatic creature that's similar to a mouse, sheshmei achber, that its name is also mouse, and when it's tummy, when it's dead, it'll transmit tumma. Now, says the Braisa, but v'dinu, logic would tell us that it's not going to transmit tumma, and therefore you wouldn't even need a pasuk to exclude it. Because timei b'chulda, b'timei b'achber. One of the eight shrotzim is the weasel, and the other one that transmits tumma is the mouse. It's just like the weasel. It's a type of creature that is only on the earth and it's not on the sea because there is no chulda in the yam. As the Gemara later on will teach, that generally whatever creature there is on land, there is a similar one in the sea except for the chulda. So therefore we make the comparison, af achber. So too, the mouse, even though there is a species of it in the sea, it's not going to transmit tumma, and only min hagadol la'aretz, the species that grows on the ground, similar to the achber. But says the Braisa, no, maybe go a different way. You could say, timi b'chulda v'timi b'achber. There's a tumma of the dead weasel, and there's a tumma by the dead mouse. Ma'chulda kol sheshma'chulda, just like the weasel, whatever is called a weasel, transmits tumma, because there's none in the sea, and the only one that's on the ground transmits tumma when it's dead. Saf achber, kol sheshma'achber. Maybe you'd say also a mouse, whatever its name is called a mouse. Afala achber shebiyam, sheshma'achber. Even the mouse in the sea, that its name is mouse, that it would transmit tumma. So therefore, we wouldn't be able to derive from logic if it excludes the one in the sea or not. So Tamalem, therefore, says the Braisa, you need a pasuk that says, Al Ha'aretz, the mouse that's dead, that you're touching, that's on the ground, which tells you that it's only that which is a sheretz Al Ha'aretz, that is going to be tummy when it dies, but the mouse of the sea, which does not live on the ground, is not going to transmit tummy. But unless it's the Braisa, no. I ala aretz, if all we had was this pasuk of ala aretz, I would tell you that actually don't expand the way we just said it. Rather, the reason why it's coming to say ala aretz is actually that you're right. No, actually, the mass of the land and the mass of the sea actually would transmit tum. Because yachal ala aretz, you would think, what is it saying on the ground? It's saying that if it's on the ground, that someone touches, that someone that's tar, that touches a dead mouse, yitame will transmit tumah, only when it's on the ground. But yarad liyam, but if let's say that mouse goes into the sea, and that's where a pure person touches that mouse, that lo yitame will not transmit tumah. So it's not excluding the achber shabiyam. It's excluding whatever achber it is. Maybe achber shabiyam transmits tumah. But it's saying that only the whatever mouse it is transmits tumah when it's dead on the ground. But it's not going to be mitame when it's in the sea. So therefore, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, it's ketin tap of kof chov zayin adalf, tamaloyma hashayritz. That's why the Pasuk had to say extra word hashayritz, because the Pasuk could have said, v'zelochem hatamei b'sheretz ha'aretz. This is tamei for you, that's a sheretz on the ground. But it says b'sheretz hashayritz ala aretz. So this extra word hashayritz takes bound, kol mokim shesheretz, wherever it crawls, because it could crawl and swim and move around, also in the sea, which is including the species that's a mouse from the ground. So therefore, we know that it can become tamei even in the sea. So then what is ala aretz coming to teach us? Must be coming to tell us that it's only going to be tamei for the species that's on the ground, and excluding the achbar shebayam, and not excluding if it goes into the sea, because they would share it too. But on that, says the Braisa, no, I ain't, or maybe not. Maybe you don't say that hasharitz is coming to say the drush you just said it. El hasharitz, maybe the word hasharitz is coming to tell you, kalamashritz yitamei, whatever proliferates will transmit tumah. Shein mashritz lo yitamei, if it's not mashritz, will not transmit tumah. So you know what? Oitzi achber, we're coming to exclude a mouse that's formed from the earth. Shechetzi basa b'chetzi adama, where if it's half flesh and half earth, shein parvarava, where it does not proliferate. In other words, because that mouse does not come from pirvarivia, from the mating, from the creature itself, because it actually creates itself because it comes in the ground. So since it's not mashritz, it's going to be tar, because this interpretation is saying the word shayritz is not going, like we were saying before, that means from the word of crawling, which that's one interpretation of the word shayritz. Rather, it's like the pasuk says in the beginning of Seva Shemaitz, par v'yishritzu, which is a terminology of, not of crawling and moving, but rather of proliferation, of a fruitful and multiply. So therefore, we could say that actually, if the mouse goes into the sea, will not transmit tumah. Because what ala aretz is coming to say is that when it says ala aretz is going to become mitame, is actually it's including even the mouse of the sea. But it's saying that it's only going to transmit tumah when it's on the ground, but it's not going to transmit tumah when it's in the sea, even the type that's on the ground. And what is it saying from hashayritz? It's saying that which is parvarava will be mitame, but that which is not shayritz, like that which comes from the ground, that's not going to be mitame. So how do you know that we're excluding the one of the sea? Maybe we're actually excluding only the one that comes from the ground, that's half earth and half flesh. However, it says the Braisa, but v'dinu. No, logic would dictate to tell us that we're not going to exclude from the halacha of tumah this one of achber shechetzi adam v'chetzi baser. We're not going to expand that way. Why? Because timi b'chul, the timi b'achber, like we compared before. There's a halacha of tumah from the dead weasel, and there's a tumah of the dead mouse. Machol the koshash machol, just like the weasel, whatever is called a weasel transmits tuma. Af achber koshash my achber. So to the mouse, whatever is called a mouse, of the achber shechetzi baser bechetzi adamas. I'm going to include the halacha of the mouse. That's even though it's half flesh and half earth, but since it's called a mouse, it will transmit tuma when it's dead. And if it's more preferable to expound this way of hashayritz, which means, as we had originally said, the top line of the amid, that wherever it crawls, which includes that it's going to be mitame, even if it goes down to the sea, and not to exclude this one of the achber, shechetzi adam v'chetzi basa, because ultimately it's called the achber, and therefore it would make sense that it should transmit tumah when it's dead. But the Gemara later on is going to ask, but you're saying that the achber hayam, the mouse of the sea, is tar, because you're excluding that from ala aretz. We do see to exclude from ala aretz the achber shebayam, but to include the achber of aretz that goes into the yam. Maybe say the other way around. Now, but the Braisa continues and says, wait, a klach l'derzu. No, maybe you can interpret it the other way when you're comparing to chulda and say, ma chulda parvarava, if you're comparing to a weasel, say just like a weasel, the continuation of that species is from the previous, from the mother, af achbar parvarava. So to maybe the mouse is only when it's parvarava, so that would exclude the achbar that's chesi adama because it's coming from the adama and not from a mother. So therefore you wouldn't know it from the logic itself, from comparing to cholda. So tamaloyma besheretz. Says the Braisa, you have an extra pasuk basheretz, because it already says, Eila tamayim lechem b'chol asheretz. What does it say basheretz? To say this halacha that, no, we're coming to include the one that's chetzi adam. Now, on that is the Gemara, Amalei ha'hum ederabon l'rabbi. It says, wait a sec. Okay, fine. Eima basheretz, seifam basheretz, like you just said, that, okay, that's lasuya achbar shechetzi basa v'chetzi adam. Like we said, we wouldn't know it from comparing it to chulda, because maybe comparing it to chulda is only with parvarava. The one that comes from the earth is not parvarava. Okay, the word basheretz is extra. That's coming to tell you that even the one that's half earth and half flesh, you touch the fleshy part at least, that for sure, okay, that's going to be transmitting tuma. But then I would tell you, hasheretz, don't expound like you said, oh, hasheretz comes to say wherever it crawls, which you're saying is including the mouth from the earth, that species that goes down to the sea, since it crawls there too in the sea, it also swims there too, that there it's also going to transmit tuma. No. Maybe expand hasheretz is kol shehu sheretz. Whatever is sheretz in the interpretation of parvarava, whatever is fruitful and multiplies. That's vafalach b'shabayam. Even the mouth of the sea is also fruitful and multiplies, and that's being included from hasheretz. Now, v'imishom al aretz, but what are you going to say regarding al aretz, which we said is only the species that's on the ground, excluding ach b'shabayam? I'll tell you, that's al aretz itame. That's coming to say whatever species, whether the species from the ground or from the sea, that where's it going to transmit tuma is in the area of the ground. Yarliyam lo yatami, but if it goes into the sea, it's not going to transmit tuma. But it's not coming to tell us anything regarding the species of the yam, because actually maybe both of them ala aretzi tamu. But if it goes down to the sea, it's not going to be mitami. On that amaleya, that Rava said back to him. He says no. Umaachad shavisei liyam makam tuma. But if that's the case, once you're saying that the sea is a place of tuma, because you're even saying that the species of the yam is going to have the halach of tuma, so then mali hacha, then why would it make a difference to me if it's in the sea? A mali hacha, what's the difference to me if it's going to go out of the sea? It wouldn't make sense to interpret the psukim like that. It has to be something that makes sense, because once you're already saying that species is going to come tuma, if you're saying that species is not tuma, so then you could say, okay, fine. Wherever the species that is tuma is going to be tuma anywhere. But if you're saying that species of the sea, then why would I say that then when it's in the sea, it's not going to become tuma? And therefore, rather, we interpreted hasheretz that's coming to include wherever it's going to crawl. But which species? Ala aretz, only the one that's ala aretz, excluding the achbar shebiyam. Now, but the Gemara concludes by saying, but v'hai ala aretz mi bayle. But you're saying ala aretz is saying that it's excluding the achbar shebiyam. It's only the species on the ground, not the one in the sea. But you need that for a different drasha. Lahitzi safik tumet safa, to exclude when you have a doubtful tuma that's floating. Because Amr Bitzchav Ravdimi says that when it says in the pasuk ala aretz, is lahitzi safik tumet safa, it's coming to exclude a doubtful tuma that's floating. Meaning, if you have a dead sheretz that's floating on the water. Now, a person that went into the water doesn't know, did he touch it or did he not? So the halacha that we're learning from the pasuk about ala aretz is that although generally when you have a safik tuma, Rishus HaRab, we consider tar. Rishus HaYachid, we consider the safik tuma. Here the pasuk ala aretz is telling you that the person is going to be tar. Now, where do we know this from? So it's actually from this pasuk that the Gemara in the last parak of Masechtas Nazir says, on the one hand it says, hasheretz, which is wherever it crawls, even if it's on the water, it's going to transmit tuma. On the other hand, it says ala aretz. How so? When it's a definite tuma, it's going to be even on the sea. When it's a suffix tuma, then it's only going to be on the ground and not on the sea. So that's what ala aretz is teaching, that the suffix tuma, that safa, that's floating, will not transmit tuma. So how are you saying ala aretz is excluding the achbar shabiyah? So the Gemara Tati ala aretz, because it actually says two times the word ala aretz. One is teaching that the suffix tuma is only going to be ala aretz, not ala mayim, and the other one's teaching it's only for the min achbar sheba aretz, excluding the min achbar sheba yam, that does not transmit the tuma of achbar of one of the eight shrotzim.